T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports. Now, here's your host, Matt Kolsky.
Come on!
And just one more time until tomorrow. It's Stephen Langford and Anna Kagarakis.
Good morning.
And on the pregame show at 5 a.m. But I did say this is the last show until tomorrow. We will be back on Thursday and Friday because Mr. Kolsky is coming in for Joe Lowe and Dibs, and he's filling in for Dibs, nice. I want to say. So he sent me a text and he says, hey, if you want to do the show, you can. I could do the show if you want. I don't want to put the burden of a five-hour show on a person.
That's a lot. That's a lot of talking.
It's a lot of talking.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kolsky wouldn't be driving that Joe Lowe and Dibs show. Bye, Cody. Thank you.
Thanks, Cody.
Thank you.
Cody, like, walks in. He helps out in the beginning. And then he has to go back and get ready for Joe Lowe and Dibs.
How appropriate is it that he waves, though?
I know.
It's so nice of him. But, no, we'll be back on Thursday and Friday because Kolsky, I don't want to give him 5 hours worth of radio to do in one day, especially coming off a big trip on the East Coast. And
right.
Anytime he's about to ask me to host, then I'm going to say, yeah, I'll do that.
I think so.
So today on the show, we're going to have a little fun because there was an article that was written about Klay Thompson and his playing days back over at Washington State. And he played there from 2008 to 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And there are stories on there that make so much sense.
So great.
Did you read it?
I did, and I loved every minute of it. I love anything that has to do with Klay Thompson, and this is quintessential Klay.
Good, all right, because we are going to, first off, I want to get the name, I want to appropriately get the name right, because this isn't a regular Warriors beat writer. This is a guy out of Seattle. Let me see where he's at.
It's here. Jason something. I want to say it was like Jensen.
I should have been way more prepared before this. I'm still looking for it.
I'm scrolling. This is really exciting.
Besides, anyway, so what he does, the writer does here is he goes to different players and different coaches from back at Washington State who interacted with Klay Thompson. And I'll get the name for you back in a sec.
Jason Jenks.
Jason Jenks.
There you
Thank
go.
You.
Not a problem.
A Seattle writer who writes for Seattle Sports for The Athletic. But anyway, what do you want to start off with? Do you want to start off with the funny parts or the serious parts? Because I can go for the next couple of segments on this, and I hope that you listeners, like us here at the pregame show, follow this religion.
Claytheism, the movement that has taken the NBA by storm.
Claytheism.
I am an avid Claytheist.
We are all advocate Claytheists yes. here. And we support any and everything that he does, whether it would be his trip to New York, was it last season or 2 seasons ago with the scaffolding?
I think that was actually 2 seasons
that
ago.
Was that 2 seasons ago?
Is it that long? I can't even remember.
Because that was still a primetime moment in Klay Thompson's professional career with the Warriors. Do you have any that just stick out to you, at least right now with his pro career with the Warriors instead of college?
Oh, the scaffolding was great. Also, the whole toaster thing was hilarious.
Right.
Just signing a fan's toaster and then
him
going off.
Toaster.
Oh, yeah. That was so good.
All right, so I do also have something before the segment ends. I got something pretty embarrassing that I have to air out on the airwaves, and it has to do with our pop quiz. But that's neither here nor there at the moment. So here's the thing. I got a ton of fun Clay things from back at Washington State. But the serious parts are a little, there's a little fewer of them. So do you want to go with the serious first?
Sure, let's go with the serious. I think okay. The cool thing about the serious stuff that I've read is that it really shows who Clay is, and that kind of describes him.
Right. You, judging from this article, it's clear that he didn't have a, how should I put it? He kind of had a don't care attitude in terms of being what would be your prototypical college student. Mm-hmm. He didn't seem like he was about going out for partying. He didn't seem infatuated with just trying to have a good time. It turns out that Rock Band and Nintendo 64 are really
Smash Brothers all
he needs in life.
He loves his Smash Brothers.
And we'll get to that.
Mario Kart.
We'll get to that in a bit. But one thing I found interesting throughout these serious parts, there were multiple teammates, and I'll list off the teammates right here. So you got coaches Tony Bennett, who coached him from 2008 to 2009, then assistant coach Ben Johnson, who coached him all 3 years, then Ken Bone, who was the head coach from 2009 to 2014. So Ken Bone took a majority of it. And then you got the teammates Abe Lodwick, David Harmeling, excuse me for the pronunciations, I'm just kind of guessing here, Charlie Enquist, Marcus Capers, Steven Bjornstad, Ben Lewin, and Reggie Moore. Now, he pretty much interacted with these teammates all the time. And one of the serious things that came out of this was they would say at the end of whatever he would do, they'd be like, who is this Clay Thompson guy and why is he choosing Washington State out of everywhere else?
And I love, one of the things I loved about it is that they used the idea that he wasn't, that UCLA didn't pick him up. And they said, let's use that as kind of the catalyst to get him here. And that they knew from there that his competitive nature is really what took him over, that he wanted to make a name for himself, but also prove something. That is Clay to a T. He is so competitive and works incredibly hard, has such a great work ethic that is him. And that's why they never thought that they would be able to bring him to Washington State.
And none of these stories should surprise you in terms of the three-point shooting from a teammate. Here's the quote. He came in wearing socks and sandals. We were in the practice gym, and we just finished practice. So we all said, what's up to him? And some of us left, and some of us were sitting on the sideline. Clay went to NBA range and probably further and drained 10 threes, maybe even more, in a row, in sandals, no warm-ups. I was like, holy bleep.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine just seeing all of a sudden some guy in sandals and socks? First off, let's just talk about that look.
Yeah.
That's only something that Clay can pull off
that
and
was
still
a,
make it look cool.
That was a very, 2008, 2000? Yeah, that was a very end of 2000s thing. In high school, it was the thing to wear socks with sandals, like slides over long socks, like high Nikes, as they called the socks.
High Nikes.
Yeah,
oh
my gosh. You'd put the sandals over the socks, and that was the style. And Clay mirrored that, and he also shot 10 threes in a row from NBA range as a, I'm going to guess, 18, 19-year-old.
Just draining them.
And that's
like nothing.
Guess what? He did that in a game 2 weeks ago. Scored 10 in a row.
It makes it look so easy.
So from another teammate, they were talking about wearing the jersey number one. That was the number that Clay wanted. Obviously, he's double ones now. Mm-hmm. And back in college, he wanted a number one, but so did another teammate. So they played a pickup game of basketball to 11. And from the teammate, he said, I was up 10-4, and I caught a cramp, thinking to myself, all right, this will be fine. I could score one more bucket. We were playing to 11. Clay hit one layup, and the rest of them were all threes, and it was 9-10. He lost the ball, and he got it back in the corner, and he didn't have any more dribbles. He hit a turnaround three in the corner, all net. I lost that bet. And then the beauty of this article is there's little snippets from Clay, and Thompson responded to that, saying he came back roaring to victory.
That's right.
It's so weird when he says that to himself.
That is that not the Warriors right there to a T? That's just, he kind of sat back, did his thing, and then all of a sudden when push comes to shove and you really need to win the game, he shows up. He's right there, and he drains the shots that nobody can make except him and Steph Curry.
Substance over style, you feel me?
I've been wanting to play that this entire time, and I couldn't find it until now. If you're just tuning in, there was an article written for The Athletic discussing Klay Thompson and his college days and all his how it was when he first showed up as he was visiting Washington State to see if they could recruit him to the point where he was a star in college. And so he talked to different players and coaches and got their perspective on him. So we're just kind of listing off all the quotes here, kind of just using this article for content. But this article is so good, I couldn't really help myself.
You know, I don't know if you were going to mention this part, but one of my favorite parts is when he was suspended.
Right.
And when he got suspended, he was supposed to play UCLA, one of the teams that didn't pick him up. And what he did, which is seems like it's so not Clay, is he took the PA microphone and apologized to the school.
Yeah.
And that just goes to show you who he is. He doesn't like to be in front of the media too much. He doesn't like to say a lot. But when push comes to shove, same idea. He'll come up there and he owns it.
Ever since he was a rookie, you've been seeing him come into his own with the media lately. Mm-hmm. He understands the type of person that he is. But before that, he was probably incredibly nervous talk into a microphone and literally admit to a... Excuse me, that was my phone. Literally admit to a fault that he got suspended. And, hey, this was a big game against, I think it was UCLA, mm-hmm. and they ended up losing in overtime. And there's other stories, too, one of which the coaches, they were tired of him making shots in practice so as not to make the defense feel bad. That's literally how good he was. He said they would say to him, you know what, Clay, why don't you take a rest here? We normally did not give Clay the toughest defensive assignments either. I remember him coming up to me many times saying, Coach, I want to take James Harden or whoever. That's how competitive he was. He was in that time of... James Harden was at Arizona State at that time, I want to say. I didn't look at the 2008, 2011 college schedules. But, yeah, he was the type of guy. I mean, now you see him as an elite two-way player. I mean, there are a few people arguing that he's the best two-way player in the game right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that because you see how important he is to this Warriors team. This defense really makes a big difference. When he's not in the game, you see how much more work the defense has to do when Clay's not in the game.
And there's one more I just want to mention in terms of the serious ones. We'll get to the fun ones after the break because the fun ones are the ones worth mentioning.
Just comedy.
So there's a teammate. His quote is, we were playing at Cal, and we ended up coming back and winning the game. It was late in the second half, and he got his finger caught up in somebody's jersey and just dislocated it. It was at a right angle. The trainer popped it back in place, and he hit some big shots down the stretch.
Just savage.
You don't picture Clay as that type of guy, the Jack Youngblood who goes out there and plays with a broken leg in the Super Bowl, or a Ronnie Lott who breaks his finger and still goes back out there and plays. I mean, that's a competitor.
Which game was it? Which series was it when he hurt his knee and everybody's like, oh my gosh, Clay's done. The season, it's going to affect the season.
Ooh.
And then all of a sudden he comes back in the same game.
Ooh.
I'm trying to remember which series it was. I want to say it was sometime in the playoffs last season. And everybody's just held their collective breath. And then all of a sudden you see Clay Thompson come out.
Oof. You know, we'll look into that. We'll look into
text
that.
Text line, if you remember, 95795, Chilled and Autobody text line. Let us know if you remember which one it was. But that just goes to show you how competitive Clay Thompson is and how hardworking he is. He is just so impressive. And this is why there are so many avid Claytheists.
There we are.
Exactly.
Hang on. Where is it? Come on, Steven. You can do this.
Claytheism, the movement that has taken the NBA by storm.
Takes a while to get used to the buttons.
Don't worry. You'll be the next two-time player.
There we go.
Or two-way player.
Yeah. So, there was an embarrassing moment I had. As you know, on the pregame show, we had a pop quiz throughout the entire NFL season. And at the end, we had our own little playoffs where we had a choice of, we chose our top eight from the season, and whoever was the top four out of the top eight won some prizes. So it was pretty much like a playoff of eight, the top four won. And I got three of the numbers correct.
Uh-oh.
Sending to the promotions team, because they reach out to you and they let you know how to do everything. So pretty much it's my job to give these winners information over to the promotions team. And I gave the correct information for three of the winners, But there is one I did not.
Uh-oh.
And that is one, I'm going to do this because I have no other option. But I need Mike in Petaluma to give a call, 888-957-9570. He's been calling every week for the past NFL season, and when I took his number down, I accidentally jotted one of them wrong.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did. I just got informed of this yesterday. There was no Mike on the phone, so I'm going to need him to give a call, 888-957-9570.
Come on, Mike.
And I'm going to continue to call for him. Because I know he's possibly listening. He's been doing it all week or all season long, ever since the pregame show was emanated. So, Mike in Petaluma, please give us a call, 888-957-9570, because I want you to get these tickets for Monster
Come
Jam.
On. You can do it, Mike.
Demetri and Antioch, Carlos A, and Jan D, you're all good. But Mike in Petaluma, I need you to call in, 888-957-9570, or text the text line at 95795. Either one.
We'll be scrolling today.
So we are going to get back to Klay Thompson's article because it's amazing. And there's going to be Nintendo 64 involved. There's going to be Super Mario involved, or no, Mario Kart, rather. And then there's also going to be fireworks involved later for that.
Always good with fireworks.
Steven and Anna in for Matt Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
The pregame show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with our product experts. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for dates and more information. All right, so we are just getting to this Klay Thompson thing, Anna.
Yeah, but by the way, I want to say thank you to the Chilton Auto Body text line. This is why we love you. I have a terrible memory. How did I not remember that when Klay Thompson went down, it was in the finals against the Cavaliers, and J.R. Smith is the one who came out, came right after him. He rolled his ankle, and then all of a sudden came back in the game, and it goes to show you how resilient Klay Thompson is.
Yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm. And the only reason that my memory of that was faded was because J.R. Smith was a little faded that game, I think, ended up going the wrong way.
LeBron wasn't very happy about that.
No, he was not. Really? So, I actually do a really good impression of that. It's not good for radio, but if, like, you see that?
Yeah, I saw it, but nobody else did except for me. So, I might have to get some video to put it up on Twitter page.
It's a really good impression. So we are going back to the Klay Thompson article. We're actually going to get to Steve Kerr. We got about half his interview to play for you from Damon, and he had some interesting things to say, including that double dribble that never was, which the NBA ended up retracting. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah,
the
NBA officially ruled that a double dribble.
Doesn't do anything now.
It doesn't do anything to the game. If anything, all it does is call out the ref for his mistake, and I don't know if there's a fine involved or anything like that. If you know, hit the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. But back to Klay Thompson, because we're going to get to the funny part. Now, the first segment, how he did it, how he laid out the article, was he talked to a bunch of former players and coaches who were with him at Washington State. And again, the reason we are explaining this is because
Claytheism, the movement that has taken the NBA by storm.
Is because even though Kolsky's not here, and he'll be back tomorrow, we are all Claytheists on this show. Anna, you're very new to this show. You've been here since Thursday, but you are an avid Claytheist as well.
Oh, 100%. I am a true believer in Claytheism.
So,
true believer.
So the head coach, or the assistant coach, rather, the assistant coach, he started off this whole article, and he said when they first met him, trying to get him to come to Washington State, he literally said three words the entire visit. Then one of the teammates, he said the guys on the team had a bet on who could get Klay to laugh during his visit, and nobody won.
Completely makes sense.
So he's stoic.
What would make Klay Thompson laugh? I really want to find out what makes him laugh.
Ooh.
Has anybody ever made him laugh, and what have they done?
I think
I've seen like a little giggle here and there when he makes himself laugh.
Well, I don't, hang on, for the 510, Klay-la-luya, Clay LaLuja.
Clay LaLuja.
Clay. Yeah. Clay LaLuja. That might actually work. But what would get him to laugh? You can't have like a... You don't want the joke to be too nuanced, you know? You want it to be obvious. You don't want it to be like a super clever, like you have to understand this or understand that type of comedy. You know, there's certain jokes that are that way. It'd be literally, I feel like you just have to put like Step Brothers on a TV and that'd be the way you'd get them to laugh. You wouldn't be able to do it in person, not back in that time.
Just super corny stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then they go on and his teammate, Dave Harmeling, said that a lot of people on this recruiting trip want to go out and have a good time. Clay had none of those desires. He went to a party and they ended up at an apartment playing Rock Band. They sat for an hour and watched him try to beat Green Grass and High Tides on Experts for the guitar portion. This isn't the first story of Rock Band. We have more of Rock Band coming up later.
Oh, please, yes.
But Green Grass and High Tides was one of the toughest songs to play in Rock Band. Did you ever play Rock Band?
I did. I love Rock Band.
I was really good with Bon Jovi's Wanted,
yes.
Dead or Alive. I would always belt that with the mic in Rock Band. What mm-hmm. about you? Do you have any specific songs you remember?
I'm blanking on the song. What's the song? What's her name? Oh, my gosh. What's the Joan Jett song?
Oh, gosh.
You know what I'm talking about, obviously.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's
yeah,
in
yeah.
my head right here now, yeah, and I'm trying to think about it. But that was the only one I could think of on top of my head that I used to love playing.
Why am I getting this wrong? This
exactly.
is so, this is so bad.
See? Text line. See my memory? I told you, I have an absolutely terrible
memory.
Is it
I Love Rock and Roll? Was that on Rock Band?
I think
okay.
so.
All right. Either way.
But
so
good.
Clay, big fan of Rock Band. Then he goes on to mention how much in love with fireworks that he is. And
so classic.
The coach, Tony Bennett, said Clay was over at his house for the 4th of July and he was shooting off fireworks with the kids. One of the coach's wives couldn't get him to leave because of said fireworks. So Clay, doesn't matter who's at the party, if there are people playing with fireworks, he's going to go play with the fireworks.
This sounds like old school type of fun, you know, just something that obviously you have people who play like video games and you're on social media all the time. But this just sounds like something that I grew up with. Like, this is stuff like my friends and I used to do, make fireworks in the front yard, you know, climb trees, water wars and all that stuff. This is kind of like that old school fun,
mm-hmm.
but as a college student. And I just love that about him. And I think that's one of the things that's so likable about him is that he's just kind of a kid at heart.
Here's the creative side to Clay Thompson, though. Teammates said they would get clementines and put fireworks in them and call them clemonades as they drive around and throw them around. Thompson responded by saying they'd make a great firework enhancer. You just put a black cat in them and it's fun to blow them up. A black cat. It was capitalized. I'm going to assume that's a type of firework.
I'm guessing so. That I'm not as aware of.
And there was a teammate who told a story that Clay, along with another teammate, put 4 smoke bombs outside of his teammate's door. And then he would also light fireworks in the street when no one was around. And then they literally run back into their duplex as soon as they heard any sort of siren or people yelling about the fireworks. So, Clay, big fireworks guy.
Yeah. Did you ever see the movie Jackass?
Yeah.
And when they put the what's it called, the rockets on the rollerblades?
Yes.
Yeah, so they did all that stuff. I did the not-so-dangerous one with, like, the sparklers and little stuff here there when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
That's the stuff that we used to do, but, yeah, we didn't do...
There's also what Steve-O did in Jackass 2 with the fireworks, but that's not suitable for airwaves. Moving on from fireworks, there's more with Clay Thompson and archery back at Washington State.
Oh, this is classic. This is good stuff.
So they set up an archery range in their duplex. They say they played a lot of Call of Duty at the time, so they thought it wouldn't be that hard to do in real life. And they said it turns out that it was pretty hard and there would be holes in the wall. And Clay would be so down to set up an archery range today if they were to ask him.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they got their deposit back after that, if they rented the place.
So, Clay doing archery, he would bring his own bow and arrow, which wasn't up to snuff, according to this teammate. Then another video game they played was Mario Kart. And since they played so much of it, Clay would go out and do donuts in his car when it was snowing out and pretend that his car was, quote, Mario Kart.
So was he Mario then? Do you think he actually played Mario, or did he play somebody else?
Oh, like if he's a true Mario Kartist, as we like to say, no one says that. He would probably be Yoshi.
Yoshi's a
solid choice. Yoshi or Toad are the two biggest Mario Kart choices. So I imagine Clay's a big. I imagine Clay's a big Yoshi guy.
That might be a good question to bring in. Into the media one day, like, which character were you in Mario Kart?
100%, because there are a lot of follow-ups that we need from these stories.
Seriously.
And in case you're just tuning in, we are basically reading an article from The Athletic on Klay Thompson's days in Washington State. But back to Rock Band. As I said earlier, there was a Rock Band story where he'd be playing Green Grass in High Tides. Well, there was an instance where a teammate asked if he wanted to go to a party. He rejected until he got heard they got Rock Band there. Clay went there, man, and pretty much broke every record on every song. The girl was just looking at me like, does he have a wife? Then Thompson responded, oh, it's a great game. Everyone got involved. Multiple instruments. A good way to learn and appreciate music.
It really is a good way to appreciate music. Good classic music. Good classic rock.
Can't you picture him being that guy, though, when you walk into a party? Everyone knew that one guy who'd walk in and instantly go straight to the video games if video games were available. Did you know any of those people? Was that a thing back when you were in college?
Yeah, I say so. I say there was those guys that went and did that. I think I actually hung out with them, in all honesty.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, let's go hang out. All right, let's go play some games. We always played Mario Kart. We always played, you know, some type of Mario game. I still play Mario with my 6-year-old son. Are you kidding me? He's loving it. We finally just beat, by the way, the Super Mario 3? Finally just beat, for the first time ever, my husband actually did it, not me, but beat Super Mario 3 the entire game.
Really?
That was the one thing I had never gotten to World 8 in that one, and we finally did it. Well, he did it, but
wow.
He did at the end.
Well, congratulations.
I was just kind of there for along the ride. You know, player number 2, I ended up being Luigi. Mario won it.
So another fun one. One teammate told Clay he's going to get a flight to Game 5 of the NBA Finals against the Cavaliers, in which they swept. Here's the coolest part. Clay said, nah, we're about to sweep this. We could tell. They're just defeated. So come to Cleveland. After Game 3, they won, and I went over there, and we were just sitting there chilling. I was like, all right, bro, what do you want to do? We were just sitting there catching up, and he brought out a Nintendo 64, like he traveled with it everywhere. And we played Super Smash Bros. Until probably 3 in the morning. So after getting a Game 3 win, they played Super Smash Brothers. Now, with Super Smash Bros., he'd probably be a Kirby guy.
Yeah.
100%.
Kirby, I think, was a good character.
Was a great character. Yeah. Samus was solid. Link was okay.
Yeah.
It all depends on how you use these people and how you use these characters.
They all have their own hidden little things about them that actually make them all well.
I was sneaky good at Samus, but that's neither here nor there.
It's there.
And then one more teammate. I got a couple more. There's a couple more stories, then we'll be done. Then we'll hear from Steve Kerr, who was on with Damon yesterday. A teammate and his wife visited the house after he got them tickets to a game. Then he said they go back to his house, they walk in, and remember looking around. He says, you know how in every house there's a junk drawer? There's a counter there, and it was clearly Clay's junk area. I look a little closer, and his NBA All-Star 3-point championship trophy that he won that year is sitting there. I do a double take, and I read it, and it's sitting there with his mail. I was like, dude, are you serious? Don't you think you should put this on a mantle or at least in your closet? And he was like, oh, yeah, man. I got home and put it there and just haven't had time. I don't know. And he's like, let's go play some video games.
That just goes to show you who he is. He's the guy that just doesn't care. He's just so laid back. It's not that he doesn't care about it. It's just that he's just laid back. And it's like, it's there. He won it. He made another accolade. All right, we're good.
Then one of my favorite, most relatable aspects of this article that I found is the last part. There was a teammate who said he probably misplaced his license a legit 10 to 15 times that I recall. He'd be like, I don't have my ID, man. I can't find it. Then I'd be like, did you find your ID? He'd be like, yeah, man, it was under my bed or under my pillow. And I'd be like, did you even look for it? A lot of people would freak out. Clay would just be like, it's all right, man. I can replace it.
Who puts their ID under their pillow, by the way?
I don't know.
That was the most random part. I was sitting there thinking, you put your ID under your pillow? You just got... Somehow it got there.
I don't know.
Somehow it got there. Clay Thompson, we love you. It's so much fun to hear all these stories.
So I don't know my favorite part. I think the Mario Kart drifting is probably my favorite part of that, because I could just picture him saying, hey, I'm like a Mario Kart, and just going around. One of the things we used to do back in the day was tray sliding was what we called it.
Tray sliding?
Yeah. You'd put two trays from like a fast food place, say like a Taco Bell or Wendy's, or you wouldn't use In-N-Out. In-N-Out has different types of trays, but you'd you put them under your tires and then you'd go out and drift a little bit. They'd make your tires a little more slippy, and then you'd go out and do donuts with it.
Well, I'm hoping at 5:30 in the morning, kids, do not attempt this.
And it would it's a good lesson for your son, and it would have been a lot better if Clay were there, though.
Oh god.
So everything about this article is fantastic. I recommend, if you have an athletic subscription, you should go and look for it and check it out, because it is amazing.
And he is a good friend. That's the other thing you get out of this, is that
yes.
he still stays in contact with a lot of his friends from college.
Right.
And when one of his friends was going through a really tough time, he ended up saying, let's go to the Bahamas, have a good time.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things you want to do, just kind of check out from everything, be with his friends, and have a good time and play Nintendo.
Yeah. And also there was a story where his friend's nephew was sick, and his friend asked him to send an encouraging video
right.
to his nephew. And apparently he got a response back, and the kid was over the moon about it. So it's different little things like that that Clay does that makes him Clay. From the 415, no love for Captain Falcon. I got love for Captain Falcon. He's quick, but there's the Falcon Punch, a little too slow for me, Anna.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you use a Falcon Punch, you're most likely, it's a open target.
I might need to pull out Super Smash Brothers again, too.
All right. So we're going to hear from Steve Kerr after the break, but I said earlier in the show, for the pop quiz winners, Carlos A., Jan D., and Dimitri, you're all good, but Mike in Petaluma, give me a call at 888-957-9570. I need to get your information one more time. I hope you're listening. 888-957-9570, or you can hit the text line at 95795. Mike, Petaluma, we've been talking all season long. So hopefully he calls back right now.
Shame, shame.
Yeah.
That's all we have to say to you, Stephen. Shame.
I'm terrible.
It's okay.
All right. We'll hear from Steve Kerr, Stephen and Anna, right here in the pregame show.
Now, back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game, presented by Golden State Lumber. Here's Stephen Langford.
And we're back. Steven and Anna Kagarakis in for Matt Kolsky.
By the way, from the 415, I'm still trying to beat the original Zelda. I have never beaten that game. Never beat it.
I had a friend in college who was a big N64 guy, and he ended up beating that for sure.
Is it the same as the original Nintendo?
Hmm?
Same as the original Nintendo, Zelda game?
It's just for N64 as far as I know.
Okay.
That's the one that he played. He didn't play with no Super Nintendo or
anything.
No,
this
like
is
that.
The original, but I'm a little older than you.
The original?
Yeah, the original Nintendo.
You
know the one that
you
had
the
little cartridge you had to blow into it?
What?
The Ocarina of Time. That's Zelda for Nintendo 64.
Yeah, that's not the same one.
Thank you, Cody. The pregame right. show is presented by Golden State Lumber. Join Golden State Lumber for Golden Mornings at the Building Bar for a coffee meet and greet with our product experts. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for dates and more information. The Warriors are at the Jazz tonight, and there are a couple of questions looming. One, how's Draymond and Gobert going to face off after their little scuffle? I don't think the injury report for Andre Iguodala has been out yet. And we'll get to it as soon as we hear from Steve Kerr. Kerr ended up joining Damon yesterday, and Damon started out the interview. You're going to hear about half of it here, by the way. And Damon started out the interview talking about, well, Steve Kerr, he went 2-0 over the weekend for the Warriors, and also he's recruiting Bryce Harper. What more can he do for the Bay Area?
Do you see the tweet from MLB? They fined me $50,000 for tampering.
You should pay him in pennies. You really should. That was fantastic. Very funny. I'm glad we all got our tampering sense of humor about us these days. Last week, it wasn't so funny.
Yeah, not so much.
It is really good to have you on here. You're 15-1 in your last 16. You've won 4 in a row. You got the Jazz tomorrow. You're in Portland on Wednesday. But most importantly, Steve, you hitting the beaches in San Diego after that? Like, you going straight to Pacific Beach, or are you a La Jolla guy?
I'm a Del Mar guy, so excited about that. We get about 5 days off for the All-Star break, which is incredible. So everybody other than Steph, Clay, and KD, I think people are going to be scattered around and just enjoying a little time off before we come back for the stretch run.
Steve, you know, we always talk about the break that the players need and the mileage that they put on their bodies. Can we just talk about the mental break that you and your coaching staff need right here and now? I mean, how nice is it to really get away for 5 days in the middle of a season? It's just got to be a luxury that you're not used to these days.
Yeah, it is huge. Bruce Frazier, one of our assistants, puts it best. He says, sometimes you just gotta get off the hamster wheel. And that's what it feels like. You know, you're constantly running on the wheel and going and going and going. And you know, just to change up the routine and get away for a few days, you just get so refreshed, recharged. So we're all looking forward to that.
Well, hopefully you have a nice little break with you and yours and you get away. What level of concern do you have for your three players who don't get the luxury of unplugging because they're going to Charlotte for the game?
Well, I mean, that's a good problem to have. I mean, every player would rather play in the All-Star game than get a break. I mean, it's an incredible honor. They will get a couple of days off after the game, so they'll have Monday and Tuesday off. I don't know what each of them has planned at this point, but we won't practice till Wednesday, and then we'll get back at it. But those guys are all sort of used to it by now. They're All-Stars every year.
Warrior head coach Steve Kerr, and again, we talked to you on Thursday last week. You played twice since then, and just I hope you'll go along with me. I'm not trying to be disrespectful in any ways, but Steve, you played well for about 4 minutes in Phoenix and maybe played well for about 2-3 minutes last night, and it's to the point where it feels like the Warriors have so much talent. If the opponent is right, a handful of minutes is all it's going to take on any given night. Is that a good place to be as a coach and it's comfortable to be there, or does something make you a little uncomfortable about that?
No, that's a bad place to be. But it's just the last two games. You know, I felt before that like we were playing at a really high level. These last two have been a little lazy. I think maybe we've had our eye on the All-Star break. Miami scares me every single year. I don't care who's on their roster. They're so well coached by Coach Spoelstra. They're so tough, disciplined. They make you work for everything. And every single year we have battles with them. And we kind of anticipated that last night and tried to warn the guys before the game. But I just feel like it's almost come too easy for us here in the last few weeks. And the last two games, we've forgotten about taking care of the details. And so that'll be the message before this Utah game tomorrow night and Portland Wednesday. We've got to get back to cover the details, especially boxing out. We've been killed on second chance opportunities the last two games, so we've got to clean that up.
I tell you, you are a you're monitoring traveling as much as any head coach, and you have an adverse reaction to it, as you should. Every single time you see it, that double dribble that Durant got away with at the top of the key last night that turned into an offensive rebound, if you're going to bury your whistle once in a game, that was good for you guys last night, wasn't it?
Well, obviously it was good for us, but I don't like it, you know, for the game. I mean, I saw it immediately. I knew the defender hadn't touched the ball. I knew Kevin double dribbled. I saw it right away. And, you know, they missed the call. I wish they could get them all right. I know they wish they could get them all right. But we were the beneficiaries last night. But I just don't like to see those obvious ones in general. You just want to see those taken care of.
What's amazing about your team is that a 24-point deficit in the first quarter really does feel as insignificant as anyone else enjoying a 2-point lead. I mean, it's amazing. The ability to erase holes that you are in, and it should be something that I've been covering your team since before you coached it, Steve. Like, I should be used to it, but my NBA, my basketball DNA, like, refuses to allow me to be used to being comfortable with a 26-point deficit. But I am now, thanks to watching you. You've sort of broken me.
Well, the one thing that you figure out in the NBA pretty quickly, either as a player or as a coach, is If you're on a bad team, the game just takes forever. You know, when you get a lead, it's like, oh man, can we hang on for the next 30 minutes? You know, and then it's like you can't hang on for 30 minutes in this league because the clock goes quickly, the pace goes quickly. if you're on a good team and you're down big early on, you don't panic. The game takes forever. There's always time to get the ship righted as long as you're disciplined and you stay with it. And I thought that's what our guys did last night.
Head coach Steve Kerr, never any panic in Kevin Durant. From the mid-range, the guy's just amazing. When it's on, it's devastating. And he had 11 points in the fourth quarter last night. All of them felt like big momentum buckets. When you're in your timeouts, like, do you ever need to stress going to a hot hand, or is that just an unspoken truth that everyone on your team understands?
Generally, our team understands. I mean, they're such smart players, and they know who's got the hot hand. And we've got a few pep sets that we run for Kevin, just like we do for Steph or Clay. And our guys will just call those plays automatically or just get him the ball. And Kevin last night just carried us in that second half offensively. He was just automatic. Even if a play breaks down and even if you don't execute offensively, he can always bail you out of a possession just because he's 6'10 and unbelievably skilled and shoots from a level that nobody can reach in terms of trying to block his shot. So he was brilliant and carried us down the stretch, and no way we went without him.
By the way, it's really sweet of you to call him 6'10". You don't really think Kevin Durant is 6'10", do you?
I, you know what? He's listed at 6'9", so I just thought I'd just give him a 6'10".
That very nice of you to round up for a 7-footer, I think. Steve, it feels like there's been an avalanche of technicals in your direction. Maybe that's a sign of your guys just needing a break, and they've been complaining a little bit. Maybe that's what happens when you add Boogie to the mix. It sort of encourages everyone. I also think that we've got some officials with very eager whistles. One in particular I'd like to ask you about. On Friday night, Sean Livingston got teched for essentially shrugging and asking where the foul was. And this is a guy with an A-plus reputation. This isn't a guy who steps to an official with Draymond's reputation. Did that burn you a little bit? It looked like you were upset.
Yeah, I was mad about that one because Sean didn't say a word. I mean, I saw the whole thing unfold right in front of me, and basically Sean thought he got hit on the wrist on the shot and gestured, you know, mimicking a hit on the wrist and got a technical for that. And so I was disappointed. I thought that was too quick. I thought the one last night with Draymond was too quick, asking for the goaltend in the second half down the stretch when Sean went in transition. I thought there was a pretty obvious goaltend call that was missed. And I think Draymond gestured and yelled, "That's a goaltend," and he got a technical. So, you know, sometimes they happen quickly, to the moment type things, and you disagree, but there's nothing you can do.
As you start counting guys' technical fouls and you point your direction towards Utah tomorrow night, are you going to have Draymond Green on a little red alert? Are you going to talk to him about Rudy Gobert? I know the two of them exchanged some words in the media. All-star snubbery, if you will. No crying in basketball, so on and so forth. I would think that they're going to try to get Draymond to take some bait tomorrow, don't you think?
Well, they might, but to be honest, it would almost be disrespectful of me as Draymond's coach to even say anything, because he knows. I never have to tell him, hey, you have a certain number of technicals and you have this many more. He knows. He knows all that stuff, and he knows what to expect tomorrow in this game. I don't need to tell him. We just have an unspoken agreement that he knows what's going on. I know what's going on, and I trust Draymond. He always finds a way to walk that fine line with his passion and his anger and his competitive desire. And so I'm not worried about him at all.
And that was Steve Kerr with Dave and Bruce. You can hear the full interview on 95.7 The Game. Feel free to weigh in on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 957-95. Warriors at Jazz tonight, and there is a past, so there sort of is a history that they were talking about between Draymond and Rudy Gobert. So let's just revisit what happened exactly among the All-Star snubs, where Rudy Gobert, people thought, Draymond, some people thought, including me, Andre Iguodala wasn't on there, and well, he's not an All-Star, obviously, but him and Draymond responded to Rudy Gobert, who ended up tearing up after he heard his mom's reaction to the All-Star snub news.
Yeah.
So, no sympathy from them. And do you think that's going to carry over into tonight?
Oh, I think so. I think Rudy Gobert is going to definitely show up for this game and be right in his face. And it's, I think that Draymond's also going to show up too, because they're going to go with that little back and forth battle tonight. And I think it's going to bring up a little more competitiveness between the two teams. So there's going to be a little something extra there between them.
Now, Green, according to NBC Sports Bay Area, was on C.J. McCollum's pull-up podcast, and they're playing the Blazers on Wednesday,
right?
Which is
in Portland,
which is odd. He goes on the podcast and he's like about to play. It's just it's super. I do love the players having podcasts, and I think it's great to get a behind the scenes look. But you also want that sense of competition that we are feeling going into this Warriors Jazz matchup, where it truly feels like Gobert and Draymond right now because of the words that were said. You know, Draymond obviously made fun of him for tearing up, while Gobert made fun of him with a Snapchat joke, which is a joke that's like 2 years running, but it's still...
Be careful what you post, basically.
It was still a good clapback. But Draymond was on CJ McCollum's podcast, and he says, "I guess I was just raised a little different. That's just not okay with me. I'm all for passion and people showing their emotion and all these things, but to cry that you don't make the All-Star game is a bit much for me. And credit to Rudy, he didn't make it, and he had 25 and 13 that night. Go do that, though. Credit to him for going out and having the game he had right after thinking he should have been an All-Star and not getting the nod. I respect that and rock with that. But the crying, I can't get with that. I don't believe in that, and I don't think that's cool." Draymond, or Damon, rather, asked Steve Kerr at the end, "Do you think that you have to warn Draymond for being baited?" I think it's going to be Rudy Gobert who's going to be baited here.
Yeah.
I think Draymond's going to do a lot of the instigating tonight, if anything. Gobert, as far as I can tell, he doesn't seem like the type that's going to be demonstrative and talking trash unless he's really, like, beating you up.
Yeah.
But Draymond, from the jump, it doesn't even matter where you're at in a game. I mean, unless you're down by, like, 20. But at the start of the game, Draymond's going to be in his ear about
this. He's the guy that does that. He that's what makes him also so good, is that he is good at kind of baiting people and just kind of getting in their heads. I could see him doing something like kind of rubbing his eyes, saying, "Hey, got a little something in your eye, Rudy." Just something like that. I could see him doing something like that just to get in his head. It's
that's
a psychological game.
That's a nice way of
putting it. Well, I'm just saying that's how he would start it.
Right.
And then I could see him going into it a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah. And then depending on whether they take a lead or not, it's going to be like, "Hey, Rudy, you're going to cry about losing right now?" And stuff like that. And I think it's going to make it more of an intriguing matchup.
Yeah, it'll be a good game tonight. So it's going to be a good game. Last two games before the All-Star break. So these guys definitely need a break. I could see them splitting right now.
Yeah.
Between these two games.
You don't see them going 17 of their last 18 going into the All-Star break
here? I think they'll probably drop one.
I don't know about the Jazz so much at Oracle tonight, but the Warriors over in Portland, on a back-to-back, you're not traveling all that far. You're just only traveling a little bit up northwest. But C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard, they both seem to have monster matchups against the Warriors every single time. It may not be an Oracle, because Dame Lillard, he performs an Oracle. That's like that's
his hometown.
That's a known fact.
Yeah.
But seeing how Jusuf Nurkić treated DeMarcus Cousins. Did he play DeMarcus Cousins? He didn't play DeMarcus Cousins last time. Seeing how he was able to treat the center position and take advantage. I see the Blazers taking one away, but not so much the Jazz. I'm not sure.
I think they'll show up tonight. There's going to be a little more competitiveness tonight in this game, so the Warriors will show up.
From the 9-2-5, Boogie will be the reason Rudy cries tonight.
Ooh, good one.
We'll see. It's I mean, as far as center matchups go, Boogie's had his pick of the litter. He's had, you know, Joel Embiid, who was the by far the nastiest center that he's played so far. I mean, in this, Rudy Gobert's probably the next man up, even though he's not even in the All-Star game. He hasn't played Jokic yet. But tonight's matchup is going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Nonetheless. But I'm going to say but one more time. But
go ahead.
There's one thing that we did want to get to real quick before we end off the show, and that's Kyler Murray. He has made the decision that he's going to the NFL. He says he's fully committed. The A's still have his rights because they did draft him 9th overall and signed him to a minor league contract. Mm-hmm. I think they have his rights for the next 1 or 2 years. So at this point, Kyler is going to play football, but if it doesn't work out, if For some reason, his stock slips after the combine and in the draft, and he doesn't get paid all that money. Baker Mayfield got over $32 million guaranteed in his rookie contract, whereas Josh Rosen got $17 million. So it's a big difference if you're not chosen, depending on where when you're picked in the first round. So what do you think? Kyler Murray, making the right decision?
I think so, in all honesty. And I'm one of those people, I love baseball. Baseball's not my number one sport. This guy's at the height of his football career. He's coming off a Heisman when he... If he doesn't commit to football at this point, I think that's also going to take some stock out of his trade value. So I think he had to do that in order to be able to be drafted higher. And this is the point of his career that he needs to try. He needs to go out there and try football. The A's can retain his rights. So if it doesn't work out in football, guess what? He can go and play baseball. And he's not going to be sitting right now going through the minor leagues right now. He can go and play football right now. And why not take the chance to get drafted? He's got to make the right decision for him. He's not making the right decision for baseball. He's not making the right decision for football. He's making the right decision for himself.
And I will say that a apt comparison to use would be Tim Tebow. I know it's a weird one, but Tebow was coveted coming out of college, going into football. Baseball wasn't even a thought. And then now he's coming back. Didn't do well at football. All he did was, you know, have a magical playoff run in 2010 or whatever it was. And then he comes back and he's trying out baseball, and he could be on the Mets roster at this point, and he's almost 30 years old, or he is a little past 30 years old, whatever he is, whatever age he is.
But that's, he's older now. That's the difference. The difference there is that he is older. Kyler Murray, he's known for playing football. He's known for playing baseball. So he has the opportunity that if it doesn't work out early, he can still go into baseball.
And the A's are clearly that much in love with him that he, that they still want to keep his contract. They still want to keep his rights. Just in case if football doesn't work out, they want to hang on to him.
Great decision.
So later on, Jolo and Dibs, they're going to be joined by Javier Lopez at 7 o'clock. We didn't get into this because we didn't have enough time, but Chris Rose of MLB Intentional Talk fame, also NFL Network, he said that Bryce Harper going to the Giants would be bad for baseball. So you hear that at 7:45, and Greg Papa at 8:30. Jolo and Dibs next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.